नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण। वी कंटिन्यूइंग अवर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 14 टेक्स्ट नंबर 51। तद् राजेन्द्र यथा स्नेह स्वस्वकात्मनि देहिना न तथा ममतालम्बी पुत्रवित्तगृहादिषु। ट्रांसलेशन and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. For this reason, O best of kings, the embodied soul is self-centered. He is more attached to his own body and self than to his so-called possessions like children, wealth and home. Purport. It is now common practice all over the world for a mother to kill her own child within the womb if the birth of that child represents any inconvenience for her. Similarly, grown children eagerly place their elderly parents in lonely institutions rather than be inconvenienced by their presence at home. This and innumerable other examples prove that people in general are more attached to their own body and self, which represents the I-ness, than to their family and other positions, which represents my-ness. Although conditioned souls are very proud of their so-called love for society, family, and so forth, in reality, every conditioned soul is acting on the platform of gross or subtle selfishness. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Hare Krishna. So welcome you all for the Bhagavatam class. Like you, I was also expecting Maharaj to give class today, but unexpectedly I am sitting here to give class today. So seeking all your blessings to speak something on Bhagavatam today. Very important verse. We are reading this wonderful chapter of Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna. Around a month back, I think so, month or two back, Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj had come here and he was speaking about his realizations on this Brahmaji's prayers. He was mentioning that he always mentions this point that since I am a scientist, so I also pursue everything as through the medium of science. He was mentioning that Brahmaji was the original scientist in this universe, the first scientist. Because when he was born, he was also looking for the origin of the universe. Like every scientist is looking for the origin of the universe. So Brahmaji, when he tried his best to look for the origin of the universe and then he failed miserably, so Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj was mentioning that at that time Brahmaji did not speculate, rather he prayed. And because he prayed, he got the help from Lord Krishna and then he could understand the origin of the universe. So he was mentioning similarly, our scientists today should learn this, that when they try their best for research and if they fail, instead of speculating, they should pray like Brahmaji, who was the original scientist. So Brahmaji is able to make such beautiful prayers here. Brahmaji had made a mistake of offending Lord Krishna and his associates. Some day ago, Sankirtan was mentioning this wonderful point that Brahmaji stole something from Krishna. And for that, Brahmaji prayed so much and it has come in the Bhagavatam pages. In today's world, stealing from Krishna is very common. People often do that in Kali Yuga. People steal from each other and also steal from Krishna's temples. And Krishna's property is also stolen. But that is not considered a great sin today. That is a sign of Kali Yuga. But so many years back in Dwapar Yuga, when Brahmaji committed this mistake of stealing Krishna's property, he felt so bad that he came back, offered obeisance to Krishna, and he recited prayers. And that is mentioned in Bhagavatam. So here in this case, after now, right now in this chapter, the particular verse which we are covering, we all already finished Brahmaji's prayer, and the pastime is now continuing. And here, in this particular section of the verses which we are referring, when Brahmaji finished his prayers and Brahmaji went back to his own abode, and Sukadeva Goswami continued his narration of the pastime of what happened after Agasura's death. So Sukadeva Goswami mentions that how after 1 year, when all the cowherd friends of Krishna came back to their village, they narrated the story of Agasura's death. Although it was 1 year old, but they did not know. They were in the, they were under the sleeping potency of Brahmaji. So they came and narrated the Agasura pastime as if it was just today. So when Parikshit Maharaj heard this from Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj is asking Sukadeva Goswami that you're telling that this for 1 year, when all the cowherd friends and all the calves were missing, Krishna, he took their form. So Krishna was in each and every person's house as their child or as in the barn as a calf. And you mentioned, Sukadeva Goswami, that they loved their child more than their own, they loved Krishna as the child more than their own child. So Parikshit Maharaj is adding this question here, that how it is possible that someone can love someone else more than their own children? How it is possible? Even though it is Krishna, but that question is there. In the material world, everyone loves their own people more than anyone else. So wonderfully answering that question, Sukadeva Goswami brings it point that actually in this world, no one loves anyone else. No one loves anyone else. In fact, people love their own self. So this particular translation is coming here, that how the embodied soul is so self-centered that he is more attached to his own body and self than to his so-called possessions. So taking these verses ahead, translations ahead, Sukadeva Goswami is iterating the point, reiterating that actually people do not love others. People love their own self, and because certain people are connected to their self, so they become their loved ones. But as soon as the self becomes endangered, then even the loved ones are removed. Why? Because people love their own self. And finally, bringing the point to the conclusion, Sukadeva Goswami speaks ahead in later verses that actually a materialistic person loves his own self, but a devotee, he understands that his own self has its origin in Krishna, and therefore he starts loving Krishna. As a result of that, therefore, when the Brajavasis are loving Krishna more than their own child, it is because they don't have love for their own self. They have love for Krishna. And because they have love for Krishna, they have love for anything which is connected to Krishna. So you find this point being very emphasized in the purport, that actually people do not love anyone else. People love their own self. Therefore, first the word comes I, me and then mine. It is not mine and me, it is me and mine. That means first me, I am the center. And people who are attached to me, who are helping me in my minus or my I-ness, they are also mine. And two examples, vivid examples of today's world is given in the purport, that how in today's world, a mother kills her own child within the womb. And why she kills? Because the birth of the child is some inconvenience for her. Now we read from Shastras, ancient scriptures, wherein the mother's love for child is compared to the one of the highest love in this material world. In fact, sometimes we do not know what is unalloyed love for Krishna. So idea is given through the example of mother's love for a child. But even that love for a child is sacrificed if the mother feels inconvenient. And the second example is given that of children when they're grown up and they get married, then they give up their parents, they send their parents to old age institutions. Because the same parents who have taken them, raised them, Now they are giving inconvenience, so remove them and send them away. So these two examples are given to prove that how actually no one loves anyone. People love their own self. And as long as someone is helping their self to enjoy, so then they love them. So in that sense, we see that how everyone is self-centered. Prabhupada gives a wonderful example always of throwing off stones in the water, in a pond. If people start throwing stones at different places in the pond, what will happen? Each stone will create ripples, but all the ripples will, what will happen? They'll clash, and the pond will become disturbed. On the other hand, if everyone keeps throwing stones at one particular location in the pond, what will happen? The ripples will move out very nicely, beautifully, and it will appear very designed way. The water won't be disturbed. So in this world, people are disturbed on the level of nation, on the level of community, on the level of society, on the level of family. Just because everyone wants that I am the center of universe, I am the center of my family. And center can be only one. If everyone wants to be center, then there will be many centers. And therefore there will be clash, there will be problems. So this concept of I has to be removed and replaced. As the great Vaishnavas, they replaced that I with Krishna. The Vrajavasis have replaced the I with Krishna. From I, it has to become we, not I. The I can become we only when Krishna comes. Therefore, pure devotees of Krishna, they also live in this world, but they call this world as Vasudeva Kutambikam. That means this world is all my family. Why? Because Krishna is the center of my life. So if Krishna is the center of my life, everything attached to Krishna is mine. So difference between a devotee who is pure and also a materialistic person is that externally the activities are same in their life, but the most important thing is the mood. From I, it has become Krishna. So Krishna's family, I'll take care of Krishna's family. It is not my family, it is Krishna's family, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of Krishna's society. I'll take care of Krishna's people, Krishna's nation. So when Krishna comes, automatically the I goes away and there is peace. So if everyone in this world thinks about Krishna's family, not my family, just imagine what will happen. There won't be any problems. There won't be any clashes. So this has to be built up. So not only the material world, the factor I is there, but even in our Krishna consciousness, sometimes we may bring this factor of I. Like many times we see among devotees also, there are difference of opinion. So this difference of opinion may be many times spiritual, but often it is material also. Why? Because everyone has his own idea of I. How I will serve. My ideas of serving. My way of serving. So if everyone has his own idea of serving, then service remains on the background and the person I comes in picture. Therefore, we have seen often that devotees have contributed so much in spiritual society on a large scale. But because the I factor was there, someone else comes and becomes a kind of competitor or a person who does more service, then service goes aside and there's a clash. So all the preaching which took place because of his ideas, and later because of the fight, all the preaching is vanished, gone, and now people remember only the fight and not the preaching. So as devotees of Krishna, we also have to very much scrutinizingly see, we should see in our life that whether we are focusing on the I factor or Krishna factor. Therefore, we often find Srila Prabhupada, in Srila Prabhupada's last day, this is one of the famous things which Srila Prabhupada said to his disciples. He told his disciples that your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate. Prabhupada did not see your love for me will be shown by how many temples you make, how many books you distribute in marathon, or how many projects you take up. He mentioned more about how you cooperate. Because that is more important. Cooperation is more important. Well, because for cooperating, one has to remove that I, my ideas, my way of serving, or my understanding. In cooperation, sometimes some good ideas have to be sacrificed just so that we cooperate and things move on. So that is understanding given by acharyas also. So this is something which I thought we can share on this particular purport. I also wanted to take this opportunity to speak something on today's wonderful Tithi. Today is a very special holy day. It is the appearance of Srila Lochandas Thakur. By Krishna's mercy, I was also reading nowadays on Lochandas Thakur's Chaitanya Mangal. So it's a kind of coincidence that I had to speak today and Lochandas Thakur's appearance is there. So I take this opportunity to speak something on Lochandas Thakur and also speak what I'm reading on Lochandas Thakur's famous book Chaitanya Mangala. So beautiful narration is given about Lochandas Thakur's greatness. Lochandas Thakur happens to be the disciple of Srila Narahari Sarkar. Now Srila Narahari Sarkar, his hometown is in Shrikhandagram. And in the biography of Acharyas, it is mentioned that Narahari Sarkar, he had come from a family of physicians. His brother was Mukunda Sarkar, who was also a physician. And Narahari Sarkar, one of his special quality was he would preach to other family which are physicians. So his disciples are all doctors. So he was a preacher of doctors. So Lochandas Thakur also was one of the people who was born in the family of physicians. Even though he did not become a physician, but he was born in family of physicians. So he happened also to be a disciple of Narahari Sarkar. So this was a doctor preaching which was in parampara going on for a long time. So Lochandas Thakur was born in the year 1520 in a village called Kogram, which happens to be in today in the district of Bardhaman in West Bengal. And it is mentioned that from a very young age, Lochandas Thakur was not interested in anything related to physician's business. He was disinterested in any material activity. He was very much interested in spiritual activities. So at a very young age, it is mentioned that his parents got him married, which was the culture at that time in Bengal. Got him married, and then he remained at home, but he was not happy, so they sent him to Narahari Sarkar's Gurukul Ashram. So for a very long time, he stayed in Narahari Sarkar's Gurukul Ashram, and there he developed as a great Vaishnava under the guidance of Narahari Sarkar. It is mentioned that major part of Lochandas Thakur's life was spent in Shrikhandagram. And there he served his guru. And then under the order of his guru, in year 1537, at the age of 17 years, Lochandas Thakur compiled this book, Chaitanya Mangal. So it is meant that if someone goes to Shrikhandagram today, still today the place is there, the exact place where Lochandas Thakur wrote Chaitanya Mangal. So till when Lochandas Thakur was writing Chaitanya Mangal, it is mentioned that Vrindavanas Thakur had already written the book Chaitanya Bhagavat. So when he wrote this book, his primary purpose of writing this book was that in Chaitanya Bhagavat, while Vrindavanas Thakur had glorified all the Vaishnavas, Lochandas Thakur felt that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's some pastimes were not fully depicted. So he wanted to take the opportunity of actually narrating that whole pastime nicely, fully. And he also wanted to glorify his own guru, Narahari Sarkar. He felt that Chaitanya Bhagavat has not much description of Narahari Sarkar. So let me now write a book where I can glorify my Guru Maharaj as a very confidential associate of Lord Chaitanya. So he went to take blessings of his guru, and Narahari Sarkar gave him blessings. He came back, he wrote this book, and after he wrote the book, in fact, on the beginning of the book, he first glorified Chaitanya Vrindavanas Thakur. That is, it is Vrindavanas Thakur's great mercy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is glorified and his glories are available for our entire universe. And seeking his blessings, I'll write the book. So after writing his book, he named his book as Chaitanya Mangal. Now, Vrindavanas Thakur's book initially also was Chaitanya Mangal. So when this book also became Chaitanya Mangal, Lochandas Thakur never thought that his book will become famous. But his book became irreverent, without his knowledge, his book became so famous that now there was a confusion amongst Vaishnava that there are two Chaitanya Mangals. What has to be done? Something has to be resolved. So in Vrindavan, Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Haridas Pandit, and Anantacharya, these four devotees sat together. They were the main Vaishnavas of that era. And they said that there cannot be two great books on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with same name. So we should resolve this thing. And then they thought that Vrindavan Das Thakur is none different than Vedavyas. And Vedavyas has compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, let us change Vrindavan Das Thakur's original Chaitanya Mangala into the name Chaitanya Bhagavat. So Vedavyas compiled Srimad Bhagavat. So now Vedavyas has come as Vrindavan Das Thakur. Now his compilation will be Chaitanya Bhagavat. So in this way, now this book Chaitanya Mangala remained, the name remained, and Vrindavan Das Thakur's original book became Chaitanya Bhagavat. So when he was staying in his guru's ashram and he was developing as a great Vaishnava, meanwhile the girl whom he was married to, the girl's parents became very much concerned that now he has grown into big age and the daughter also has grown up, but there is no sign of Lakshmi Das Thakur coming back again the family. So all these in-laws of Lakshmi Das Thakur, they came to Srikhandagram and they complained to Narahari Sarkar that this boy has married our girl and this boy is now attached to your ashram and doesn't want to leave you. What kind of ashram you have? So they forced him and Narahari Sarkar said, okay, you go now and you try to live as a family person. So Lakshmi Das Thakur, it is mentioned that he told them that you go ahead, I'll come later. And later when Lakshmi Das Thakur went to this village where his in-laws stayed, and since he was coming after a very long time, previously he had gone when he was a small young boy and now he was a grown-up person. So when he went there, he was confused which place I am supposed to go, which house. So then he saw a young lady drawing some water from the well. And then he just went and asked, Mother, where is this house where I am looking for? So then the girl showed the directions. And then he reached his in-law's house and he sat there. And then the in-laws got his wife in front of him. And then he saw that the very girl whom he had asked on the well and referred to as mother, where is the destination I'm referring to? That is his own wife. So he became very much disturbed. He said, it's Krishna's arrangement. I have called my own wife as mother. He said, from today onwards, I'll treat you as mother. So then it is mentioned that Lakshmi Das Thakur called his would-be wife, or whatever you call it now, and then the whole night he narrated Chaitanya Mangala to her. And in the morning he then asked her permission that I don't want to stay here, I have to go back to my guru's ashram, I have a lot of service there, can I go? And wife was like, mother, blessings, give blessings, you can go. So this is the small story of this great Vaishnava, Lakshmi Das Thakur. So Lakshmi Das Thakur beautifully mentions in his book Chaitanya Mangala, this pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, Chaitanya Mangala book was in a form of a tree bark. On a tree bark, Chaitanya Mangala book was written by Lakshmi Das Thakur. And this book remained like this for many generations till Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in 1920. He got this book and printed it in a page form so that Vaishnavas could access that. So that was available in Bengali for many years, Chaitanya Mangala. Chaitanya Mangala was available in Bengali. But then recently, some few years back, then Mahanidhi Maharaj took this task of translating this book into English. So now this book is available in English. The book compiled by Lakshmi Das Thakur, Chaitanya Mangala, was written by Lakshmi Das Thakur in such a way that even an ordinary person can understand the glories of Lord Chaitanya. And because Lakshmi Das Thakur was a great Vaishnava poet, and so many bhajans we know about Lakshmi Das Thakur, a great Vaishnava poet, Lakshmi Das Thakur compiled Chaitanya Mangala in a beautiful poetic way. Now many of us do not know about the music and all, but that time Panchali style was very famous. So he compiled this book in such a way that it can be recited in 5 different meters. And just like in that days, people would come together in the evening time and they would have description or some singing of Ramayana or Mahabharata. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's glories would be sung, people would refer Chaitanya Mangala and they would recite poetries and songs based on this Chaitanya Mangala. So in this way, Chaitanya Mangala went hand to hand, the glories of Lord Chaitanya was available even to a common man. That was the purpose of Lakshmi Das Thakur's compilation of Chaitanya Mangala in this beautiful metric style. It is mentioned that after he compiled Chaitanya Mangala, Lakshmi Das Thakur was contemplating that in Chaitanya Mangala I have not enough glorified Nityanand Prabhu. He has mentioned about Nityananda Prabhu, but he has not enough glorified. So he decided that I want to do some service to Nityananda Prabhu. And therefore, amongst his various bhajans, he spent a lot of time speaking about Nityananda Prabhu's glory. So definitely we know this bhajan of Parama Karuna Pahudhuijana Nitai Gauri Chandra, where Nuchandas Thakur is glorifying both Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And we know that how Srila Prabhupada loved this bhajan. Prabhupada has sung this bhajan many times. Even if, in fact, Prabhupada also given purport to this bhajan. And there is one place it is mentioned that when Prabhupada went to South America and he was inaugurating a Gaur Nitai temple in Caracas, Prabhupada he sang this bhajan, Parama Karuna, and then Prabhupada became silent. Prabhupada went into ecstasy. So after in this case, Lochandas Thakur, when he compiled many bhajans, he decided to focus on Nityananda Prabhu's bhajan. And therefore this, he compiled this masterpiece bhajan, Nitai Gunamani Amar, and also Akarod Paramananda, Nityananda Ram. So that is the special place of Lochandas Thakur. So now we will speak something on Lochandas Thakur's first chapter of Chaitanya Mangal, where he describes the reasons or the purpose behind Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu's appearance. How it happened? Why Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu came? So description is given that one time Narad Muni, while playing his veena, he was going through different planets and finally he came to Earth planet. The age of Kali had already manifested on the Earth planet. So Narad Muni came and Narad Muni saw the pitiable condition of the people in the age of Kali Yuga. Narad Muni decided to preach to people in Kali Yuga. So he went there and started chanting the holy name. But he saw people were not interested in the holy name. But Narad Muni, while chanting the holy name, he became intoxicated in love of Godhead and started crying, laughing, and tears were pouring from his eyes. That was the effect of chanting, his own chanting. But seeing him, people were still not interested. They were more interested in mundane activities. So Narad Muni's own preaching was not affecting the people in Kali Yuga. So Narad Muni became very concerned. And he thought, what should be done? People in Kali Yuga are suffering and they will suffer even more without the shelter of Krishna. So Narad Muni, as a compassionate Vaishnava, decided that I should go to Krishna and tell him that it is the time now to come in Kali Yuga and preach and come in your own incarnation. So Narad Muni takes immediately to a journey towards the spiritual planet Vaikuntha, and then he enters Dwarka. So before Narad Muni is about to enter Dwarka, another pastime is happening in Dwarka now, in the spiritual world, wherein Krishna has now left Satyabhama's palace and is now entering Rukmini's palace. So when Krishna enters Rukmini's palace, Rukmini Devi is very much enchanted and enamored by Krishna's appearance. And Rukmini Devi is shedding tears of happiness that Krishna has come. So she makes Krishna sit on the bed and she offers all worshipful items. She is bathing the lotus feet of Krishna. And while bathing the lotus feet of Krishna, Krishna is watching the beautiful face of Rukmini. And Krishna is a little concerned that I have come already and Rukmini is with me, then why she is crying? Now that I have come, she should be happy. Maybe someone is crying when he or she is missing someone. But here I am personally present and Rukmini is washing my feet, yet she is crying. So Krishna becomes a little interested in knowing the reason why Rukmini Devi is crying. So Krishna asks Rukmini Devi that, what is the reason for your crying? Because now I am present, you should be happy, you should be smiling. Then Rukmini Devi sees Krishna and tells Krishna that you will not understand this. So Krishna becomes much more interested now, that what is that which I do not know? I am all knowing. I am Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then Rukmini Devi tells Krishna that right now the activity which I am doing is worshipping your lotus feet. That is, that flavor, that rasa, that you will never understand. So Krishna says, why? Because it is your lotus feet. Unless you worship your own lotus feet, you will not understand the taste, the rasa in worshipping it. So I am crying because I am feeling how fortunate I am that I am touching your lotus feet. And I am also crying that soon you will also leave this place and go some other place to meet your devotees and I will miss your lotus feet. So Krishna says that this flavor of taste of worshipping my lotus feet, how it is that I do not understand? So Rukmini tells Krishna, this is because you are not your devotee. So then Krishna tells Rukmini, so whom should I learn this from, the taste of my lotus feet? So Rukmini says, in the whole world, me and Srimati Radharani are the one who know the exact flavor, the rasa of worshipping lotus feet. So Krishna becomes very interested. Now Krishna gets up and Krishna says, Rukmini, you say that there is something in my life which I do not know. Now I am interested to know this. So please know that soon in the age of Kali Yuga, I will descend as my own devotee to taste what you are describing me now. And when Krishna is describing this, immediately Narad Muni comes from the sky and descends on the palace, in the palace of Rukmini. And Narad Muni is having a concerned face, and Narad Muni is in tears. So Krishna welcomes Narad Muni, Krishna glorifies Narad Muni, and finally asks Narad Muni that, generally you come, you are very happy, today you look very concerned. So Narad Muni says that just I have returned from Earth planet and Kali Yuga has just begun Earth planet. So I am concerned about the people in Kali Yuga. They are not much interested in spirituality. So I have come here to remind you that every Yuga you are supposed to come. So now Kali Yuga has come. Kindly make your incarnation appearance. So Krishna smiles at Narad Muni and said, just now I told Rukmini Devi that I am going to appear in Kali Yuga as Lord Gauranga. And then In the front of the eyes of Narad Muni, Rukmini Devi and all present there, Krishna manifested the beautiful form of Lord Gauranga. And when Lord Gauranga's form was manifested in front of, Narad Muni becomes ecstatic and he dances in ecstasy and he falls on the ground unconscious. Then Krishna picks him back again. And Krishna tells, I have shown this form to you, now your special mission. Go and tell all the main demigods who are there in this universe, in the universe, material universe, that I am going to come as Lord Gauranga and they should all appear on the earth planet. So Narad Muni now ecstatically, he starts going here and there to meet anyone he meets first and tell everyone that now Kali Yuga has come in earth planet, the best part is Lord Gauranga is going to come. So on his way, Narad Muni reaches Naimisharanya. When Narad Muni reaches Naimisharanya, he meets Uddhava there. So Uddhava is in Naimisharanya, Uddhava becomes very happy seeing Narad Muni. And he worships Narad Muni very nicely. And then he asks Narad Muni, he also has the same question. Narad Muni, I am in Naimisharanya, and I am also saying Kali Yuga is appearing on the earth planet, and people are not interested in spiritual life. So what is the solution you have? So Narad Muni becomes very happy. He said, I have a solution. And the solution is, Lord Krishna is coming as Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu in Kali Yuga. And he'll appear and give everyone, he will taste the flavor of his lotus feet. And then he will distribute that flavor to everyone, no matter who he is. So when Uddhava hears this, he becomes very happy. So Narad Muni, after informing Uddhava, now next goes on to a new place. And he decides, let me first go to Kailash and inform Mahesh, Lord Shiva and Parvati. So Narad Muni comes to Kailash, and Shiva and Parvati see Narad Muni in a very jovial mood. So immediately they ask, that generally you are very happy, but today you are very, very happy. So what makes you very, very happy? What is the reason of that? So before telling us this good news, Narad Muni reminds them of a previous incident which happened with Shiva and Parvati. And Narad Muni tells, Lord Shiva and Parvati, I do not know whether you remember, but long, long ago this incident happened with all three of us. So Lord Shiva says, which incident is that? And Narad Muni takes them to past about another incident which happened. And that incident was when Narad Muni had previously gone to Uddhava. I hope people are not getting confused with that. Previously had gone to Uddhava, and when Narad Muni asked Uddhava, what is the secret of your success in devotional life? Uddhava had told Narad Muni that when I was staying with Krishna in Dwarka, whatever I would eat, wear, or accept for my daily necessities, it was all Krishna's prasad. So I would wear a dress which was Krishna's dress. Krishna gave me that dress. If I would eat anything, it was Krishna's remnants. And because of the power of Krishna's prasad, I am what I am. That's what Uddhava revealed, the secret of his success. So Narad Muni became very interested. Wow, it is so easy to become a great devotee of Krishna by eating Krishna prasad. So then Narad Muni asked Uddhava, where to get Krishna prasad? So now Krishna has already left. So Narada Muni said, okay, Krishna may have left from earth planet, but Krishna, I can access Krishna in Vaikuntha. I can access Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha. I can access Krishna in Goloka. I will personally go there and collect Mahaprasad. So Narada Muni now goes to Vaikuntha. And there, Lord Mahavishnu is lying on the bed of Anantashesh, and Lakshmi Devi is massaging Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. So Narada Muni is very now happy, ecstatic that now he has come very close to Lord Vishnu. So immediately he will get Mahaprasad now. So very nicely he goes, first serves and glorifies Lakshmi Devi. And then finally puts his proposal. I want some Mahaprasad of Lord Mahavishnu. So Lakshmi Devi becomes very much disturbed. So Narada Muni asks Lakshmi Devi, what happened? I think so you'll have to wait for some time. So why should I wait for some time? Because I have to give a petition to Lord Vishnu and then the Mahaprasad will come. So wait for some time. Actually, Lakshmi Devi was disturbed because just before Narada Muni had come, Lord Vishnu had told Lakshmi Devi, never distribute my Mahaprasad to anyone. So Lakshmi Devi had said, yes, we'll not do that. But now Narada Muni was petitioning and Lakshmi Devi already promised Narada Muni that whatever you want, I will give you. So she was in dichotomy, what should I do? So she made Narada Muni wait for some time. So Narada Muni was there for 12 years. Of course, there is no time there, but still, Chaitanya Mangal mentions for 12 years, Narada Muni served under Lakshmi Devi. And Lakshmi Devi was, every year was having anxiety that how will I be able to satisfy his demand because Mahavishnu has already told not to give Mahaprasad. So now, Lakshmi Devi while serving Vishnu, she was in anxiety. And Lord Vishnu understood that there is some anxiety which is there in Lakshmi Devi's face. So Lord Narayan asked Lakshmi Devi, what is anxiety you are having? He said, my anxiety is Narada Muni. But how Narada Muni has got given you anxiety? Because you have told me a specific order not to give you a Mahaprasad. And now Narada Muni wants that very thing which you have said not to give. So Lord Vishnu smiles and he said, don't worry Lakshmi Devi. Whenever you see me not seeing you, hidingly give you Mahaprasad. So then Lakshmi Devi does that. And immediately when, of course Lord Vishnu knows everything, but when Lord Vishnu is knowing and yet not knowing, Lakshmi Devi gives the Mahaprasad to Narada Muni. Immediately Narada Muni gets the Mahaprasad and honors the Mahaprasad. And all the ecstatic symptoms are visible in the body of Narada Muni. And Narada Muni, he's leaving Vaikuntha, but he does not know which direction he's taking because he's so much in ecstasy. His veena is going here, his shawl is going here, his hair has now become disheveled. And he's dancing and singing and he's just going here and there. And finally, in that stage, he reaches Kailash. So Lord Shiva is now in deep meditation. And then this amazing kirtan of ecstasy disturbs Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva says, Narada Muni, and he is also thinking that my Tandava Nritya is famous all over the world. But this Nritya is something different, you know. And I have never seen Narada Muni in such kind of style of dancing. So he becomes intrigued. He said, brother, oh my dear brother Narada, what makes you dance ecstatically in such a fashion? So he becomes sober. And he realizes that now he is in Kailash Hill in front of Lord Shiva. So then he tells the whole story that how Uddhava and then he went to 12 years for the Mahaprasad, and then he got the Mahaprasad. And this is all action. This is all the action, the effect of Mahaprasad. So Lord Shiva becomes very grave and said, you are my brother. You are supposed to share Mahaprasad with me, is it not? You ate it all alone. So Narada Muni becomes, he understands that sequence now, that whole thing that Lord Shiva is asking for Prasad and I don't have anything. And Narada Muni checks his hand and then finally sees some one morsel of prasad still on his hands. So picks up that morsel and gives to Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva honors that morsel of Mahaprasad and now Lord Shiva gets into action. And Lord Shiva becomes ecstatic and then he starts his Tandava Nritya. Now generally Lord Shiva when he starts Tandava Nritya, he is definitely in ecstasy. But just imagine ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. The bliss of Mahaprasad. So that Tandava Nritya is not just a Tandava Nritya, it's a special Tandava Nritya which Lord Shiva does. And it is such a Tandava Nritya that the whole world is now shaking because of Tandava Nritya. It is mentioned that Ananta Shesha is holding all the universe on his head. Even Ananta Shesha's head is going down because of the burden of dancing of Lord Shiva. In fact, Chaitanya Mangal mentions that Lord Ananta is always standing like this, but he starts moving behind because of the burden. And because he is moving behind and as per the geography of the universe, Lord Ananta is standing, sitting coiled on the shell of Kurmadev. So because of the load of Ananta Shesha, even Kurma is disturbed. And he picks his head off and thinks, what happened to Ananta? Why is he being so much load? So these are the effect of Lord Shiva's dancing. Now Mother Earth, who is bearing the maximum load now, she becomes very much disturbed. So she comes running to Mother Parvati and says, don't you realize something wrong is happening? What is that? Your husband is dancing a little different today, you know. And it's not right time. Tandav Nritya is generally reserved when the annihilation comes. So Parvati also realizes something is going a little wrong here. So she goes and sees Lord Shiva still dancing. And she tries to pacify Lord Shiva. But Lord Shiva is in his own world. He is just ecstatically dancing. He is not caring for Parvati also. Then Parvati has to take the Brahmastra. And that Brahmastra is that sometimes a wife, if she has to point something to her husband and husband is not hearing, then she has to shout at the husband. So now Parvati Devi, she immediately starts chastising Lord Shiva. Previously she was glorifying Lord Shiva and asking him to stop, but now that didn't work. So now she started chastising Lord Shiva. And when that happened, Lord Shiva had to come out of ecstasy to reconcile the family matter. And said, what happened? So Parvati told Lord Shiva, what happened? You see what is happening all over the world because of your dancing. So Lord Shiva says, I'm sorry, but what can I do? I got Mahaprasad from Narad Muni. What is this Mahaprasad? So the whole story is told. You know, Uddhava, 12 years to wait for Mahaprasad. Narad Muni comes, then he gives me one morsel. Then Parvati becomes very grave and sad. He said, where is my share of Mahaprasad? So now Lord Shiva is confused and he looks at Narad Muni. Narad Muni is even more confused what to do. And then Parvati says, you two men, you are very mean. You always eat for your own self. But now I will get Mahaprasad from Lord Vishnu and I will see that I distribute this Mahaprasad to everyone. As soon as she mentions this, immediately Lord Vishnu descends in the Kailash Hill. And he tells Parvati Devi that whatever is your desire, it will be fulfilled. In Kali Yuga, I will come and I will distribute my Mahaprasad to everyone, no matter who is he. So this conversation is now, Narad Muni is reminding whom? Parvati and Shiva, after he has come from Dwarka. And he tells Parvati and Shiva, that time Lord Vishnu had told to keep this matter very confidential and therefore you have forgotten. But now time has come, so I am revealing you this confidential thing that previously Lord Vishnu had told he will come in Kali Yuga to distribute his Mahaprasad. And now the great news is Lord Krishna is personally descending as Lord Gauranga in the age of Kali Yuga. And he wants all of you to come and join him in his Sankirtan mission. Saying this, then Narad Muni continues in his further path. And now Narad Muni goes ahead and it is mentioned that Narad Muni goes next to Brahma Loka, where his father Brahma is there. So Narad Muni reaches Brahmaloka, he is thinking of Lord Gauranga's form so much that he goes in ecstasy as he reaches Brahmaloka. And the kind of ecstatic symptom which Narad Muni presents in front of Brahma, even Brahma is bewildered. What kind of ecstasy this is? In fact, sometimes Narad Muni's facial expression changes as if he is very sick. And sometimes Narad Muni starts crying pitifully. So Brahmaji's father is thinking, ecstasy is good, but it looks like my son is suffering. So Narad Muni is concerned so much that Brahmaji is concerned so much, Brahmaji picks up Narad Muni, puts his on his lap and tries to console him. What happened, Baba? What happened? So then Narad Muni comes into his external consciousness and narrates the whole pastime of how he went to Dwarka and Rukmini Devi, the whole pastime of Lord Krishna, told that I will appear as Lord Gauranga. And he has told me to tell you that he should also appear and become one of his associates. So Lord Brahma becomes very happy. And Brahma says, yes, now I remember how long ago something like this I heard before, which was very confidential. But by your revelation of Lord Gauranga's name, I now remember that in Shastras and scriptures also it is mentioned. And then Brahmaji quotes various scriptures. He first mentions about how he mentions about the first incident of Garga Muni's prediction when he is narrating He is predicting the name-giving ceremony of Lord Krishna. It's mentioned in Bhagavatam 10th canto, Brahmaji mentions, that Gargamuni said that Lord Krishna will appear, your son will appear, appears every yuga. In other yugas, he has appeared as white, red and yellow. So Brahmaji said, this yellow, which we had forgotten, now you are reminding, because now Gauranga Mahaprabhu's time has come. So all the confidential things which are there in Bhagavatam, in the Vedas, are now being revealed properly. So now you can see that the time has come for the yellow incarnation to come. And then he quotes again one more example from the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, where King Nimi is asking Karbhajan Muni that, please tell me about all the different incarnations Krishna takes in different yugas and which colors they have. And that time, in that particular reply, Karbhajan Muni mentions that how Lord will come in Kali Yuga in the incarnation of yellow, golden color. So Brahmaji is now remembering all those various incidents which he has heard before. And then Brahmaji tells Narad Muni that, I have something very confidential for you, Narad Muni. The confidential thing is that some days back, your brothers, the four Kumaras, came to me with a doubt. And that doubt was that they were reading Bhagavatam, and then when they came across the Rasa Panchadhyaya of Krishna, they were a little bewildered. So they came and asked me a question, that Krishna is such a, he has such wonderful pastimes, then why does he perform some pastimes which may bewilder people? Why is it so? So Brahmaji, when he is hearing that question, he also thinks, yeah, that is right question, but then how should I answer them? So he prays intensely to Krishna to help, that I can answer them nicely about this wonderful question. And the prayer to Krishna, Lord Brahma's prayer to Krishna, immediately at that time, Lord comes in the form of Hamsa avatar. And then he comes in front of Brahma and Sanat called the four Kumaras and addresses this question. And this question is addressed in a seed form, in the form of four shlokas, Chatushloki Bhagavat. So after Hamsa avatar speaks the Chatushloki Bhagavat to Brahma, it is mentioned, then Hamsa avatar tells Brahma that in future, Vyasdev, after compilation of Mahabharata and Puranas, will be bewildered. That time I want you to give this four Shloki Bhagavat to him and tell him to write the Bhagavatam. And also give this four Shloki Bhagavatam to your son Narada and tell him to preach this Bhagavat all over the world. So when Narada is now here, Brahma tells him this incident. And Brahma tells him that you preach this Bhagavatam all over the world and now you go to Vyasdev. And he is in disappointment. He does not know what is the reason for dissatisfaction. Tell him to write Bhagavatam. So Narada Muni goes to the earth planet and meets Vyasdev and tells him to write Srimad Bhagavatam. So later, when after this incident of the whole thing in terms of Brahmaji's prayers and all, then Narada Muni decides now to go to actual back to earth planet where Kali Yuga is already begun. So Narada Muni comes and then he sees that Kali Yuga has now increased a lot. So Narada Muni becomes very much disturbed. Even though he knows Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming, but still time is there for him to come. He becomes so disturbed that he goes in a secluded place and starts meditating on Lord Gauranga. And when he's meditating on Lord Gauranga's form, he hears a voice. And that divine voice is of Lord Jagannath from Jagannath Puri. And then Lord Jagannath tells Narada Muni that he should immediately come to Puri. I have a special message for you. So Narada Muni becomes very happy and he comes to Jagannath Puri. And he sees the smiling face of Lord Jagannath. And Lord Jagannath said that the promise which I had given to Parvati Devi, that I will distribute my Mahaprasad to everyone, for that promise I have come as Jagannath. But then the most important thing is the descent of Lord Gauranga, because he will make the Prasad famous all over the world. So Lord Gauranga, after his sannyas, he will spend major time of his life in Puri, here. From here he will preach, he will chant, and he will glorify the holy name all over the world. So therefore, now Narada Muni, since you are feeling separation from Lord Gauranga, I am advising you to go to Golok Vrindavan now. And there you will see Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu's form. Krishna has taken the form of Lord Gauranga, and Radharani, Rukmini Devi, all the gopis and all the queens of Dwarka are serving Lord Gauranga. So now Narada Muni goes to Golok Vrindavan, and there Lord Gauranga sees Narada Muni. He becomes very happy and he calls Narada Muni and says, Narada Muni, I know your desire that you want me to come very fast. So let's go now. So Narad Muni takes Lord Gauranga, Lord Gauranga takes Narad Muni and says, so now we'll go and I will descend as Lord Gauranga, you come as Srivas Thakur, but we also want few more people. So now your duty is to go to Lord Shiva and tell him to come as Advaita Acharya. And then you go to, and of course, Gadadhar Pandita Srimati Radharani. And who else? 1, 2, 3, 4. Nityanand Prabhu, I'm sorry. And then you go to Lord Balaram and tell him to descend as Nityanand Prabhu. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells to Narad Muni, I will tell you the purpose of my descent. And the beautiful chapter is mentioned about the purpose of Lord Gauranga's descent. So Lord Gauranga tells Narad Muni that every yuga I come, and then he narrates this beautiful shloka from the Gita, Paritranaya Sadhunam. Then he mentions that when I come in Kali Yuga, I will see that people are so demoniac that the activity of killing cannot be done. Generally, if I have to kill the demoniac people, I kill using my weapons. But in Kali Yuga, everyone will have demoniac mentality. Therefore, I'll give up my weapons. And instead of killing people, I will kill the demonic mentality by chanting of my holy names. So in this way, everyone, right from Chandala to a demigod, everyone will get mercy, no matter what his qualification is. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu mentioned to Narad Muni that in this way, I will reach everyone. And after that, Gauranga Mahaprabhu mentions that people who do not follow religion, they may not accept my holy name. Or some people may, out of fear of following religion, may run away from Bharatvarsh and go to foreign countries. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I will make a plan. I will send my special devotee, Mora Senapati Bhakta, and catch them also, and make them devotees also. So this is the prediction of Srila Prabhupada and Jaitanya Mangalayare. And after that, Gauranga Mahaprabhu told him to go to meet all these devotees. So then Narad Muni goes to Balaramji and conveys the news that Lord Gauranga wants to come as Lord Nityananda. He goes to Lord Shiva and tells him the news that he should come as Advaita Acharya and Parvati Devi should come as Sita Thakurani. And in this way, Narad Muni comes back again to the earth planet. And this was the first chapter of Chaitanya Mangal finishes, wherein the initial kind of preface to Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu's descent is mentioned. Shri Loshandas Thakur ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.